audio sermons from Peachtree Christian Church.
The reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the sheep, the shepherd, and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loved me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Please may you be seated.
Good morning. As many of you may know by now, before coming to Peachtree, Jordan and I used to work in Valencia, Spain as college ministers and missionaries. Now, every time I mention Jordan in a sermon, she's always afraid that it would be confusing in case someone doesn't know who she is. So, for the sake of this story, Jordan is my wife. Strictly for the sake of this story. While my wife, Jordan, and I were there, we had two college students, Daniel and Gloria, who became two very good friends of ours. And Daniel and Gloria were from China, and they were studying in Valencia. They weren't Christians, but they became part of our community, our ministry that was called Viva. They showed up to nearly every event, and they grew to know people and grew to become core members of our community. They were still very connected with other Chinese students who studied in the area. And because of that, they ended up starting a tradition at Invivo of celebrating Chinese New Year. And even when they couldn't be there sometimes, during COVID, they were stuck in China for a while, we continued on the tradition of having Chinese New Year and connecting with Chinese students who didn't normally come to Invivo at all. And in their first year, they won the coveted Servants Award by doing literally everything and treating Invivo as if it was their own and serving others. So why, in preaching on Jesus as a good shepherd, do I tell you about my two Chinese friends who aren't Christians? That's a very interesting question. You're very adept. I'm proud of you this morning. Another interesting question, why is the church so obsessed with shepherds? Do you know a shepherd? Okay, well, you don't count, Steve. The rest of you, you guys know shepherds? Am I the only one who doesn't know shepherds? All right. Apparently, a lot of people know shepherds. I thought we were in Midtown Atlanta, but apparently, out in the field. But we don't know many shepherds. But we cling to a scripture that is full of this shepherding imagery. We have Jesus with shepherds all over art. Every single one of you, don't lie, has seen that picture of Jesus with the sheep on his back and his head turned white. You get a little confused on which way the sheep's looking, but it's right there. You all seen the picture. And there in today's text, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Another of our readings from the lectionary, so this is going to be like a magic trick for some of you guys. All right, so your order of worship, right here. That first page, I want you to look at. You haven't looked at this since the first time it looked like this, because it's never changed, right? Now, at the bottom, this is a magic trick. Every single week, we change these readings, all right? Which one of y'all read them? Sinners. Every single week, we have different readings down there, including this John passage, but also a rare psalm that's never been heard before. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. For his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Those are beautiful, comforting words. Even if you don't know a shepherd. When's the last time you heard them? Anybody have a occasion they've heard that psalm before? Every funeral you've ever been to? Every single one. It's just so, such a comforting image. We have Jesus, the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go find the one. In Ezekiel, God defines himself as a shepherd. He says he will seek the lost and bring back the strayed. Some of the most famous people in Scripture and throughout Christian history have been shepherds. Like Moses, shepherd. King David, shepherd. The shepherd of Hermes, probably a shepherd. I looked him up. He seemed legit. So what is it about shepherds? It seems pretty clear in these verses we read here. It's their love. It's their compassion. It's their caring for those in need, specifically us as the sheep. But what we sometimes forget as we rest in this security and this grace and this love of our good shepherd is that he has called the sheep to follow him and to go where he goes and to act as he acts. When we read Psalm 23, we think of Jesus walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't think about the fact that we are sometimes following Jesus into the valley of the shadow of death. He's leading us there. If we trust and follow the Good Shepherd, we are called to be the Good Shepherd to others. If you look just before this, in John 10:10, Jesus talks about the abundant life. And then he talks about a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This abundant life that Jesus talks about is filled with love and caring for others' needs. And letting go of our own preferences for the good and the comfort of others. And when our cup runneth over, that goodness and mercy, that is for others. That is a gift that we give out of the goodness that we have received. Every week we practice communion and we remember that we are united as the body of Christ to serve as Christ served, to love as Christ loved. And sometimes when we think about this laying down our lives, like, it's hard to think of images that aren't just, like, extraordinary. I think of Desmond Doss, portrayed by Andrew Garfield, who plays every type of Christian ever. If you just go through his list, every single type of Christian. But Andrew Doss, Desmond Doss, was a Latter-day Saint who would not shoot during World War II. He was a field medic, and he would only run into the battle and go grab people. He wouldn't carry a weapon. If you saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge, the movie is about his efforts to save his comrades. But, in another one of these mysterious lectionary texts that just appeared for the first time, I'm sure, in 1 John 3, it anticipates that disconnect that we have with this will lay down my life. I mean, I'll do it theoretically. Luckily, it's never come up. And it says, if you have any needs and you see someone who needs it, where are you showing love if you're not helping? That one hits a little closer to home. There's rarely a day you can drive to church and not see someone in need. And the more you get to be united and connected as a group and a community, we will see the needs of others, whether those needs are material or whether they are the needs of our time and our love. I've seen it in this church, though. I've seen the shepherding. Every Tuesday, we have respite ministry, and I see people who give of their time and serve and care. care for those who are struggling with Parkinson's and other mental declines. I know people in the church who stopped to help people in car wrecks and waited 3 hours only to drive them home out of their own way to care for them, to show that love, that sacrificial love. Or inviting people over for dinner to bring them into the family more and more. I know what you're thinking. That's great. That sounds really good. Good shepherd. Nailing it. But what was that weird story about the Chinese people, Daniel and Gloria, at the beginning that seemed to have nothing to do with the rest of the sermon? That's a good point. You guys are really on it this morning. I'm loving the energy. There we go. That's because the words that struck me most from this passage are verse 16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. What does that even mean? Does that mean that maybe there's some people of God who don't look like what we think they look like? They might vote Republican or Democrat, Lord help us. What are the odds that you can be a Christian and something that I completely disagree with? Really hard. There's so much that we have to learn isn't as important. What is important is that we lay down our life for one another and love one another. When we were in Valencia, our ministry, our community that we founded, was to care for Spanish college students. But a common thing happens when you try and make a welcoming community. People who you aren't looking for, people who aren't your target audience, would feel welcome and they'd stay. And so our ministry tended to be about 50% Spanish and 50% international. Went to Spain, we weren't expecting that. We were expecting to minister to Spanish students. But we had a ministry that connected worldwide. And Daniel and Gloria, who didn't fit our model, who didn't fit our mold exactly, came and were welcomed and connected. And they listened to the voice of Jesus and they started to emulate him and they acted like shepherds. They are the sheep of a different fold, but are part of the same flock. One of my favorite stories is that Gloria told this at the end of her first year with us. She said she had thought about going to study in another city, but after getting to know the In Vivo community and becoming part of it, she couldn't imagine going anywhere else. And that's like the dream thing you want to hear a student say. And then she said, I wish there could be an In Vivo in China. To which Daniel quickly went, that would be wildly illegal. You never miss a beat. So how are we going to know if people are from another fold? If we don't first give them a chance to welcome them and let them bring their different foldiness into ours and affect us and change us as we sacrifice our preferences at times. And then we are going to know them by how they give of their lives, and they will know us by how we give of ours.